Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello, and welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. It's a big week. The Six Nations is right around the corner and we are down one world-class talent. Luckily enough, I've got two world-class lads next to me. Alan, you're back.
I'm back.
You don't look as good as Johnny Beattie to sit next to.
Jesus Christ, just coming
might,
at me.
You might unfortunately going to weigh the same, but it's just a completely different sort of body composition, I'd say.
You look, as I said, I was hungover on Sunday afternoon, or maybe it was like Monday morning. Post pod had been released. Just looking at the reviews coming in, saying best pod of all time, greatest pod of all time.
The thing is, if we've been able to release the rest of the stories that he was telling us off air,
Johnny B uncut.
Oh my word! Like the top of those iTunes charts.
Oh yeah,
worldwide. It was absolute gold.
It was amazing, wasn't it?
Maybe one day we can put them out there.
He did say he doesn't want to do a Q&A. Maybe a wee live event. Johnny Beattie live. People love him. Can't get enough of him.
He is very good, and he's 100% going to make a career out of in TV in some capacity.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
So unlike much you. Super smart. And Matt, you're here?
I am here,
Got your legs out. Nice to see them.
Yeah, I'm just really happy that we've already recorded 20 minutes that wasn't actually...
Not actually recording.
Yeah.
So this is actually the second take.
Yeah.
It's still this bad. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
It's a real shame. But you're okay?
I'm good. I'm good. Yeah.
How are you feeling about Finn? Sad?
We'll get on to it. I don't know. I'm pissed off.
And lots of people are, and they've been telling us on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod, on Instagram, Thistle_Rugby_Pod, and in the mailbag, that's the thistlerugby@gmail.com. We've had SRU insiders, we've had sort of unnamed email accounts, we've had sort of freshly made Twitter accounts sliding into our DMs. It's like all the president's men around here. We are just getting information.
One of Putin's like bot farms got a little side project helping us out with like deep dives into the SRU scandal.
Yeah, Putin's very concerned. He's very, very concerned. So we're going to get right into Finn, as you would expect. We've also had a great chat with Scotland and Lions legend Rob Wainwright, who gives us his views on the Finn Russell scandal, also helps us preview Ireland a little bit, and talks to us about the great charitable initiative that he's running ahead of the England game next week. So look forward to that. Any other news? Rambo re-signed for Edinburgh, which is good news for them.
Yeah, there is an Argentinian lad who is supposedly signed.
Signed from Exeter.
From Exeter, who everyone says is really good, but I've literally never heard of.
Yeah. So he must be terrible.
But him, I guess, is, you know, if Xander's going to be essentially probably first choice tight head.
Mm.
And the World Cup pools are going to be drawn post our summer tour, which is terrifying.
Yeah, straight off the back of two hidings from South Africa and one from New Zealand.
Yeah.
I suppose they're so far above us in the world rankings that it doesn't actually affect us that much to lose to them away from home.
Yeah, I think that was just sort of general feedback on Twitter.
We need to beat France at Murrayfield.
Yeah.
Is that a big one?
Like, losing at home, I think, is bad.
Yeah, it's bad for your rankings.
Is bad for rankings, particularly for teams that are sort of in and around that your sort of bracket.
Mm.
Like, if we beat one of Ireland or Wales,
we're fine.
Away, that would be great. Because then we get more ranking points. Is it after the summer tour or is it after November?
It's after
as well?
November.
So we've got Japan and Argentina at home as well.
That could be a real kick in the teeth.
We're going to get relegated from the World Cup like the under-20s.
Yeah, that's what World Rugby want.
Have to go through like the repassage and play like Russia with a playoff against Hong Kong.
As I've said,
be a good trip.
One spin in the repassage would be really fun.
Yeah, that's true.
Madagascar really away or something.
Yeah,
I mean, exactly. That's the dream. Ultimately, it'll end up being like rural Romania away, which would still be quite
only rural Romania, not the urban bits. Yeah,
Bucharest would be all right.
That's an urban area. Clube.
Oh, never mind. I thought you said we'd only be playing rural Romania. And I was like,
okay.
Oh, right. Right.
Fine.
Anyway.
Right.
I think we can probably leave that there.
Part that.
We'll
cut out.
Let's talk Finn.
Should we talk Finn? So should I take you and our listeners through the facts, the chronological facts as we understand them? So Finn, playing against Saracens in London for Racing 92, loses. Private jet with Sean Maitland up to Edinburgh. Possible private jet. Possible charter flight. Who knows? Couple of beers. I think that's the accepted amount of beers that happened between Finn and Sean Maitland in the flight. Gets to Edinburgh. Goes to the team hotel to meet up with the rest of the Scotland squad. Continues drinking on his own, as we understand it.
Are you sure he was on his own?
That is certainly the line that he was drinking on his own.
Okay.
Senior players asked him to stop.
Senior players, we think Hogg, Brown, and Rambo seem to be the three.
And Gilchrist.
I think that's the senior player group. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, it could. I suppose there's other senior players who wouldn't fit into that group, but
yeah.
You can imagine that it's somebody with that sort. It's going to have to be somebody with quite a bit of clout to go up to Finn and say, "You need to stop doing that." I'm reading it as Stuart Hogg, but other people can interpret it as they like. We then understand this may again that somebody went and woke up Gregor Townsend, who was in bed at this time. Might have been James Robson, the doctor. Might not have been James Robson, the doctor. Tooney then comes down, has a confrontation with Finn. We don't really know. Anybody doesn't know what the sort of back and forth there was. Finn's parents then come and pick him up, take him home to Stirling. So that's Sunday night into Monday morning. Monday morning, Scotland are training. Finn's due to be there. Finn does not turn up.
We don't know whether he didn't turn up, though, or he was told not to come.
That's true. Sorry.
And I will see you. And then they had this meeting later on. It might have said...
Scotland were training on Monday morning and Finn was not there.
Yeah.
Monday evening, long conversation between Finn and Townsend, two and a half hours, allegedly on good terms, which was then left with, you're not going to be considered for Ireland, but we want you to stay with the squad, help Adam prepare and be part of the preparation for the first game of the tournament. You will then be presumably considered for selection for England and for the rest of the tournament.
Mm.
Now, it seems at this stage that from what Townsend's been saying and what's been reported, that he kind of thought that Finn had sort of said, yeah, that's decent, I'm okay with that. But something's happened, or he's changed his mind. He's gone back to France at some stage, Tuesday, maybe Wednesday morning, that when the story starts to break Wednesday, Thursday... Finn plays rugby on Saturday against...
Between Thursday and Saturday, Finn liked numerous posts on Twitter, including some that said, you got to stand up for yourself.
Yeah.
You've got to stand up for yourself. Ali Price didn't cover himself in huge amounts of glory by sort of getting in on it a little bit with a supportive gif, I believe, of a tweet that Simon Zebo had put out defending Finn, which was rapidly taken down, but we managed to get a screenshot of it if you haven't seen it. Finn then plays rugby Saturday, takes a pretty obnoxious tops-off photo.
I think just to, once again, to add color to this kind of narrative, though, he's just posing normally in other bits of that. There's a video of them celebrating, and he's not like the whole time doing this sort of obnoxious pose. He's not just standing there. Like, the camera flashes quite a lot, and at that point, he decides to do it for like genuinely a second or two.
Why has he got his top off?
I mean, though? He does it.
He is the only one that has top off.
I've seen that video. He does do it when he knows he's being filmed, or you know, a photo taken of him. I think it is a deliberate action. It's not like he's shrugged accidentally and it looks like he's gone for it. I think he does it for a few seconds.
Did he post that photo? No.
No, I think it's a harassing sort of look how great we're doing.
Yeah, anyway, I don't personally have that much to it.
But again, as we'll come on to talk, I think optics are quite important here. So that's Saturday evening. Next, Finn then, nobody really knows. Next thing we know,
private jet to Dubai.
It feels like a private jet to Dubai. Adam Ash's Instagram, which is private, technically. But there's like thousands of people that follow him, so not that private.
Yeah, a lot of people leak that.
Yeah, exactly. And we get sent, a photo of Finn in Dubai with Adam Ash.
With a nightclub tagged.
Yeah.
That's the tag.
Is that right?
Nightclub tagged.
Checked it out. Supposedly it was one of like Greece's hottest nightclub that's been brought to Dubai.
Wow. If there's a sentence that I would expect Finn Russell to go to, it would be that. It would definitely be that club. Yeah. And that's about as much as we know now. I think we come into this week. Gregor Townsend's been out in the press saying no one's bigger than the team, essentially. Mm-hmm. Backed up by Fraser Brown as well.
Yeah.
And then Hugh Jones has been out in the press this morning, obviously still being asked about it. It's still the biggest story in town. Hugh Jones's line is that he thinks that the public and the media are making too big a deal of it. And here we are on Wednesday evening making a big deal of it. Alan, what do you think about it?
Actually, maybe let's go back to the start and rumours of stuff before this incident. So obviously there's been the kind of all the chat about the halftime and the Calcutta Cup,
the Twickenham half-time,
which has ranged from discussion to argument and everything in between, and the fact that Finn thought they were kicking too much and he didn't want to go with Tooney's game plan. Although I actually think if you look at the stats, they didn't really change the game that much between the two halves.
But again, generally accepted that there was a disagreement between Townsend and Finn on strategy in that England game.
But then I think if you ultimately look at a lot of what people say, I think they say it's actually healthy to have debate in a change room, especially when you're losing. You don't want people in silence just listening to one coach. Obviously, Finn's dad has had an unfair dismissal case against the SOU and won. Mm. And there is clearly some significant bad blood between the SOU and Keith Russell, and supposedly Finn is not a fan of Mark Dodgson.
Which you can understand.
Which you can completely understand, right? And then I think the third point, which is probably listened to on James Downey, was on the Off the Ball podcast a couple of days ago. And he obviously was at Glasgow when it was Tooney and Finn Russell. And he indicated then that even back in the day that Tooney and Russell, he didn't say they had arguments or anything, but like him and Tooney would clash over stuff. Tooney had a game plan and Finn would just do what he wanted sometimes. And also said that even back then, Tooney tried to cut down on the Glasgow drinking culture.
Right.
And wasn't a fan of sort of boozing.
Mm.
Interestingly, on the James Downey point, because he's probably the only player that's been under Tooney that I've really heard talk really openly about Tooney. And interestingly, what he said in that was he was the most like detailed orientated and probably the best, like it sounded like, analytical coach that he's played under. Mm. I think he's had caps for Ireland and stuff. So, you know.
A lot of caps for Munster, Northampton.
Exactly. He then was insinuating that Tooney was probably the worst man manager he's ever had.
Okay.
And he was saying that it was surprising for him to have a coach who was an ex-player to be actually such a poor manager of players.
Mm.
So I guess that's kind of like some context coming
Is I think sort of if I were to sort of put myself in Finn's shoes, I'd take all that on board. And I wonder if Townsend is guilty of poor man management in this instance. And that although everyone should be you know, held to a certain standard, that maybe it required a bit more of an arm round the shoulder, or just a bit more sort of, considering he, Finn clearly is a sort of, maybe he's got that rebellious streak in him, and that's what makes him a good player, right?
Yeah.
So maybe there needs to be a bit of sort of kid gloves around it.
However,
that is not my view. I really do think that I'm just trying to play devil's advocate.
Yeah,
just trying
to look at the incident itself and then kind of the behavior post.
Yeah.
So in terms of the incident,
I think even at its most mild level, the things that we know of, that he turned up having had a few drinks. I think if he hadn't touched a drop of alcohol post that, everyone would have been like, that's totally fair, you've been playing rugby. Mm. Even if he's had a few beers in the bar afterwards and it's gotten to maybe 11 o'clock at night, and then they say, Finn, look, we're training in the morning.
Yeah.
Let's knock it on the head. It's a senior player saying that. Not even speculating that it could be the captain, but look, it's a senior player saying, you're a senior person yourself. So you're setting an example. Stop. He's not done that. And what he was doing was enough. So that whatever he was doing in the bar was enough to make it apparent to senior people who've been in Scotland camp for a long time, administrators and other coaches, that they need to go and wake up Gregor Townsend.
Yeah.
I think that's the most important point, actually.
It's not been dealt with. Like, it could have been dealt with in so many different ways. I think it feels to me that I think if it had been any other player in the squad, literally any other player in the squad, they may well have been sent home at that moment. I think your kid gloves are possibly Townsend being like, right, let's get Finn in on Monday night. Let's have a chat. Let's sort of present him with the options and say to you, you've done this. There are consequences for your actions, but we want you to stay in here. Mm. And then it's been Finn's choice to then leave.
100%.
I think if that had
been Blair Kinghorn, I guarantee he would have been like asked to be to like make an apology to the team.
Yeah.
And it would have probably been sent home.
Yeah.
And I think
look at like what happened to Bradbury, went out on the piss when he was Edinburgh captain. He's a young lad, but like he was pretty much taking the captaincy away from him. He's sort of out in the cold for a little bit.
Yeah.
But it just feels that if it had been maybe Finn, Hogg maybe could possibly have had this sort of level of antics and still gotten away with it to a certain level.
Yeah.
But I think Townsend's absolutely right in the way he's dealt with it. And I think particularly with the quite petulant social media stuff and the
So there's then the behavior post.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I guess there's just the leaving the hotel anyway, straight away.
Getting your parents to come and pick you up.
I know. I'm sorry, you earn 750 grand, just get an Uber Lux. I know it's sterling, right? But it's like a couple hundred pounds. Like,
they must have been in Edinburgh.
Yeah, I'm sure they must have. There's the liking of the tweets. It's like, just stay off
and
be fucking quiet. And then I like the fact he's gone and played for like Castra, but then don't go to Dubai when everyone else is in camp.
Mm.
Like, it just looks so bad. I think the fact, I don't know, it felt weird to me that he was there with like other, Adam Ash is still kind of an SRU employee.
It kind of felt as if Adam Ash was taking that photo to show how funny it all was.
Yeah.
It was a bit like,
yeah.
And I think it's the same with Ali Price liking those tweets, and even though it's completely removed, like Simon Ziba posting things, it's like you are all like professional athletes and like grown men with like, you know, quite a lot of responsibilities. Like, really? Is this how you're going to conduct yourselves?
Yeah.
For like a, you know, what is ultimately like a kind of, I don't know, a disciplinary type matter?
Yeah.
Like, I found that really disappointing.
You would think that even if he was, I guess this is me being a fan, I think if he was very contrite and wanted to show that he was, you know, very sorry, even if he has stormed out of camp on the Sunday night or on the Tuesday or whatever it is, and he's had that bust up, you'd think the cold light of day, he'd think, Christ, I actually, you know, I've got a big stake in my life of playing for Scotland. I love doing it. I'm going to, you know, sit on my hands. I'll go and do my job at Racing to show that I'm still, you know, focused on rugby.
Yeah,
and then I would just be thinking, right, when can I get back in and around the squad? And I just think the way he's behaved has been...
I think it's really
distasteful.
Yeah, but on the other side of it, like, you know, we don't know what's going on in his personal life. We don't know whether, having moved to France, I don't know, people were saying that he, like, loves the high life there and, like, likes to drink. It might be more serious than that, don't know. But then you sort of think, like, who has he got, you know... advising him in Paris. Like, he lives on his own by all accounts. I think Racing Metro don't, they obviously don't play in the centre of Paris.
Yeah, yeah.
It could probably be pretty, like, isolated
pretty
life.
Lonely, yeah.
Who's your best friend who speaks English is Simon Zebo, who by all accounts isn't the kind of sharpest tool in the box. Like, no, seriously. I mean, that, as shown right. by, like, the tweets he's doing and stuff, like, those are the kind of people that are advising you. And I mean, obviously the guys who are in charge of Racing don't really give a shit if Finn isn't playing for Scotland. Like, they want the most out of their asset.
It's interesting though. It feels like there potentially is a little bit of a divide between, you know, certain employees of the SRU, because, you know, ultimately, you know, Finn's clearly like a well-liked guy in that team, right? And, you know, players have obviously come out quite hard. Clearly there's been, like, senior players have pushed back, and it sounds like a lot of the decisions that are made have been driven by senior players as well. However, on the other hand, you have people in the squad liking tweets in support of Gregor Townsend. It kind of sounds like Chris Ashton was on the BBC pod talking about it in quite a light way, and he's probably got the information from Byron McGuigan, right? That's what
Or even Finn.
And then you got Adam Ash, like, going out with Finn to, like, Dubai. It just...
Yeah.
I still think there's loads more to come out in the wash.
And I also think that despite Keith Russell, not that I know Keith Russell at all, but despite him having that awful experience at the SRU, I just can't see him sort of advising Finn to take the steps that he's taken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I could be completely speaking out of turn here, but I just can't really see his revenge against the SRU. I just can't see him doing that. Because if it's purely just the rugby side of things, he will obviously want Finn playing for Scotland because he'll want them to do as best as possible.
It's an interesting dynamic as well, because I think it's pretty clear that one of the players telling Finn to stop was Stuart Hogg. That's kind of
probably.
And, you know, it was an interesting dynamic post Rugby World Cup, because there wasn't really, post kind of the debacle that was, there wasn't really a clear leader or a clear captain emerging.
Yeah,
and we
yeah.
talked about the fact that, is Hogg the right person to be captain? Is fullback the right position? Kind of, you want obviously someone who is a guaranteed starter. And we were even talking about the game this Saturday.
Yeah.
There's not many people who are guaranteed starters in there.
Yeah.
And in terms of people who have enough experience, you're probably looking at Finn and Stuart Hogg.
Yeah.
And both pretty big characters. And, you know, it's a pretty hard situation if, you know, you got to imagine if someone like Stuart Hogg, who is first time being captain, first night of the training camp of the Six Nations.
Yeah.
And he's having to tell and assert authority on probably the other person who's probably the most senior player in the squad. It's just like an interesting dynamic.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can...
Yeah.
Considering the personal history of those, they've come through together at Glasgow.
Yeah, yeah.
Into
yeah.
the Scotland team.
Similar ages.
Yeah.
Similar ages. They've known each other for a long time.
Yeah, but we don't
time.
Know if they might have always not liked each other. I think the other thing, though, is like, you know, I'm just...
No, that's
you know,
totally true.
I think that's the theory that I think people have sort of come up with to fit the narrative. But, I mean, the other thing is, it's not as if, like, Finn's ever done anything like this before, I don't think. Like, the most I can see is, like, that... The only evidence of him liking a drink is him that photo of him and Laidlaw, and everyone loved that.
Which VIP, is totally
VIP
fair, yeah.
at Why Not?
Exactly, like, everyone loving it. So I just found that whole thing that sort of like everyone's sort of like, oh yeah, well, Finn's clearly a bit of like a prima donna, and he thinks he's the main man and everything. And maybe you get that from his attitude on the pitch, but never seen any sign of this before.
Yeah, and I feel like the last 9 months, and you know, maybe a lot of it's PR, but a lot of the narrative has been like Finn wants to be like a world-class fly half.
He takes his rugby
very, very seriously.
Extremely seriously.
And that appears to not just be coming out of, like, you know, club comms, but from journalists as well who have either gone and spoken to him or speaking to people around him. So, yeah, I know what you mean. Like, it's kind of come a little bit out of nowhere, I would say.
But then maybe, I was maybe going around in circles here, but maybe now that he's sort of been let off the leash a bit in Paris, like, he is enjoying himself. And he's, like... We'll go out for a few drinks and he's happy, and that's when he's playing his best rugby. And maybe he's sort of convinced himself of that, and it could be the case. And then to be told, you know, you can't do this.
Yeah.
I think that's the other thing, that maybe, I don't know, if you sort of impose like straight limits on drinking, or if Townsend doesn't like drinking, I think that's always just bound to blow up in your face.
Yeah.
Like, these are young adults who, you know, you can't fully control. You don't want to be too much like a school teacher.
But it's not like, you know, the Scotland players in general are like, a lot of those senior players don't have the kind of aura of like, you know, a Johnny Wilkinson or like players who are a bit like teetotal and don't like to have drinks. Like,
yeah.
Hogg clearly loves Guinness and like yeah. loves getting pissed when the situation calls for it.
Well, yeah. That's the other thing that I think we talked about before, but you know, it's like less than a week until the opening match of the Six Nations. And if he is serious about being sort of the best 10 in the world, like, can you not leave it for 5 days?
Yeah.
And it, yeah. You know? No, agreed. And I think it's interesting. I've been surprised at how split opinion has been. Probably the most, one of the most splits I've ever seen on, especially kind of people engaging with us on Twitter, where you get a lot of people who are very far in Team Finn.
Yeah.
And a lot of people who are very far yeah. in Team Townsend. Yeah. And I think you're right. I think if you had any other player, and if you had a, and if it was Vern Cotter or Richard Cockerell, I think 99% of people would be team coach.
Yeah. I think it's just, it is Finn. I mean, Finn and Hoggy are two world-class, ironed-on, world-famous rugby players.
Yeah.
They are the faces, they will be used in every Six Nations ad campaign this year when they're talking about Scotland or anything like that. Like, so they are.
Do you think Hugh Jones pokes around in that?
Also be Hugh Jones, because he's very
no, handsome. He's back in the fold as well.
From like a PR market. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Point.
But I think, but you understand Sorry. What I'm saying. I mean, hot rugby players.
marketable rugby players. Yeah.
You've completely taken off my train of thought. But I mean, like, but I think,
I know what you mean.
What I was trying to say is that, you know, I think you would have thought, and this is what does surprise me a bit about, and particularly his actions after the fact, Finn knows that. Finn knows his role as a senior Scotland player. And up until this point, I would have said he's embraced and loved that. Part of the
yeah,
role.
Yeah, exactly. You couldn't really fault him. So, in sort of behavior
there's obviously
terms.
Something quite, which leads me to think there's obviously something quite deep rooted in this relationship with Tooney and or the SRU that this particular instance has brought it to a head.
Mm.
And I mean, all I can say is I absolutely hope he's back for the England game.
Yeah.
But I'm entirely supportive of the way in which Townsend has dealt with it. Firstly, in offering him that reconciliation of sort of, you know, proving that he is a real team man and he will happily stand on the sidelines and help Adam Hastings deliver a great performance against Ireland,
yeah,
recognizing that he's made a mistake. And then secondly, when Finn's gone and sort of turned his back on that seemingly and has acted a little bit petulantly on social media and things like that, I think the messaging that he's been putting out there is no one's bigger than the team playing for this team playing for Scotland should be the biggest honour of any athlete's career, and if they don't want that, like, whatever, you've got to prove.
Yeah.
I think it was like 2 hours between the pre-recorded statement of Townsend saying, if you want to play for Scotland, you've got to, I hope Finn's like thinking about his actions. And then that photo, granted, we put it online, but 2 hours later, 2 hours later.
But yeah, no, totally.
But that's what made it newsworthy, is that your head coach is saying, Finn, I hope you're thinking about your actions, yeah. And Finn's in a nightclub in Dubai with a glass of red wine. And a glass of water, to be fair.
and a meal.
And a meal.
You know. So he was breaking down, you know, that red wine.
I just
wine.
Think it's, yeah, it's...
And I think the other thing that's sort of undeniable and is black and white is that it's going to undoubtedly have a massive impact on their preparation for this week.
Oh, yeah.
Like, completely. Both in terms of the technical on the field, sort of switching around positions, having to probably alter your game plan slightly because Hastings... I mean, he's a similar player, but...
Yeah, I was trying to think. Well, in terms of differences, I was going to say probably a better running game in terms of breaking the gain line.
Possibly, yeah.
But in terms of just general kind of,
I think it's control as well.
Control and handling. Yeah.
Like,
should we save this for a little bit of an Ireland preview?
Yeah,
yeah.
So before we get into all of that, we had a great chat earlier with Scotland and Lions legend Rob Wainwright. Here is what he had to say. And delighted to be joined on the line live from the Hebrides, Scotland and Lions legend Rob Wainwright. Rob, how are you, man?
Very good here. Thanks for having me on, and yourselves.
Yeah, we're cracking on. Looking forward to the Six Nations. You going to be following that? What do you think about Scotland's chances against Ireland?
Well, we'll be down at the Call Hotel watching it and getting free bacon rolls or something like that. The World Cup's established a new routine, which has been very welcome, at the Call Hotel at least. But Ireland, well, obviously the Six Nations is Scotland have got a lot to prove after a World Cup that I think we'd all say disappointed, but I think there's a lot of good signs, and it doesn't always work out this way. But if you look at our five main matches, we've got two home matches. France at home is always a winnable game. It's kind of up to us whether we win it. England, we've got our best record against, rather bizarrely at the moment. So it again is a winnable. It'll be a very tough thing game to win, but it's winnable, and our heads heads can cope with that one. Italy away, we should be winning. And then the two big ones, Ireland and Wales away, both with new management, both having lost some key players through retirement. So, there might be a leadership hiatus. And so if you look at it, the broad pitch is very good. And obviously, we've got to convert the picture into results there.
Absolutely. You wouldn't say it's been a classic build-up for the Scotland squad. obviously, with the antics with Finn Russell earlier this week. What's your view on that and how that could sort of disrupt the squad?
Well, if I was to look at the lighter side of it, then I would say it is a classic build-up to a Scotland game, because that's how most build-ups to Scotland games were 30 years ago, except we never met on a Monday. We met on a Thursday, or the scrum might come in for a scrummaging on a Wednesday night. And certainly I just came in at the end of really heavy drinking era. Thursday night was a team building out in the town. And, 1980s, that's the way it was. So in terms of Finn's behaviour, I don't bat an eyelid at, but the signs that it's sending, obviously, I don't know, you don't know, we don't know what's going on in there, but it's not a good sign in terms of the relationship that Finn has with one assumes the management, but I don't know. It's not a good sign. Obviously, it's a loss, but I'm one to look at the positives. Young Mr. Hastings has been playing very well in the build up to this, and it's an opportunity. He can seize it, and Finn can be brilliant. Finn is unbelievably gifted player, but he can have bad days, and the more gifted a player is, when they have a bad day, the worse it can be sometimes. So I say Hastings got his chance. Let's brush over what's happened. Hope that things are sorted out between Finn and whoever he's got issues with.
Yeah.
And we get on with it. But in the meantime, brush it under the carpet and look forward to playing with the men that are starting.
Quite right, too. We were having a bit of a look back. Your record against Ireland wasn't too bad. We made you unbeaten in the Five Nations against Ireland.
Yeah, we did. I think apparently we drew a game 6-6.
You don't need to talk about that one.
I can't actually remember that, but we now Ireland was a banker in those days, and against the trend. But it's about mindset, isn't it? If you go into a game knowing that you've beaten them the year before and the year before that, then the confidence, the form you take it into the game is different. And conversely, we had a real issue with England, and really struggled to get our heads around the idea of beating them. And the 90s, from 1990 to, I think it was 2000, that was 10 years without a win against England, which is not, rather a disappointing time to be playing from that point of view. In a Scotland side, because for everyone, that's the big fixture, isn't it?
And you mentioned England there. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you and some other rugby legends are up to next week before the Calcutta Cup match in Edinburgh?
Yeah, we last year, Mark Bowman and a couple of other endurance riders and myself got the match ball from the team in Murrayfield and rode it down for raising money for Doddy's Foundation. And this year we're doing it in the other direction, and again, we're raising for Dorrie's amazing foundation that I'm sure everyone knows all about. And we're also raising money for Tom Smith's charity of choice. As you may or may not know, Tom's suffering from stage 4 bowel cancer. So we are going with the charity of his choice, Fortitude, which researches into bowel cancer. And we are cycling in the other direction, 500 miles in 48 hours from Twickenham with a match ball presented by my old mate Jason Leonard at Twickenham. And we've got to get it up in time for kickoff on the Saturday. So we've got a team of 10 core riders, and we'll be joined by a number of people along the way, we hope, including some of my old adversaries and teammates from yesteryear when we set off from Twickenham in particular. So we've got an amazing spread of players from recently retired Kelly Brown, John Barkley riding with us. And then we've got Roger Arneal, who's 75, that's doing the last section with us. So it brings great hope for us as we get older that age 75, we could still be riding long distances on a bike. But we would love people to come and join us along the route. It's all there on woundedlions500.co.uk if people are looking for details. And the support we've had so far has been absolutely amazing. We've already raised more money than we raised last year, and that's just from some very generous shirt sponsorship from the likes of Fosrock, the Carrera Group, and Newbria, our main sponsors, and many others. And we're so grateful to them. We're already over 70 grand, and we're hoping to break 100 grand.
That's absolutely incredible. What were your sort of main memories from last year? The sort of the high and the low points, I suppose.
Well, there was quite a lot of low points because within a few hours of starting, we were way off our schedule and we were catching up the whole way. So we hit headwinds and rain, and cycling's a lot harder going into a wind. If you've done any, you'll know that. And our plan was to have 5 hours sleep down in Oxfordshire, and that ended up being 35 minutes. So my memories are of exhaustion and my first hallucination on a bike and various other things. But, you know, as ever with all these things, it was another team event. We had a fantastic support crew with us, a good bunch of lads riding, and people that came in and helped us. Probably my best memory is being rescued down near Dudley in the West Midlands by a cycle club who came out in the middle of the night and dragged Mark and myself across into Oxfordshire like a husky train dragging us along, and then waved us goodbye and cycled back all the way back to where they'd come from. But it was a tough challenge, and we hope that the wind might be a bit more helpful this year.
And what have you got planned for sort of the celebrations afterwards to mark the, you know, the hopeful successful trip?
Yeah, sleep probably is the short answer. Last year we got down, and after half of the Calcutta Cup, we were all set to say, should we just pack it in and head off?
Yeah.
like so many other Scottish supporters. It was just Mark and Ali's try that just held us there and over half time. And we were pretty much packing up over half time and then ready for bed. Because when you've done 500 miles on whatever I was on, less than an hour's sleep in 2 days, you've got one thing on your mind. But we stayed, and what an amazing second half it was. And more of the same this year would be very welcome.
Absolutely. Well, Rob, we'll let you get back to it. Thanks very much for joining us, and all the best for the rides, and let's hope you bring that luck to the Scotland team.
Well, hopefully the ball will work in both halves this year, but thank you very much for having us on, and as I said, anyone that wants to come and ride a section with us, go to woundedlions500.co.uk and you can see timeline and itinerary there. Thank you.
Awesome, Rob. Cheers, mate.
Cheers, then.
A Okay, great to hear from Rob. If you can, get on to the website and support them as much as they can as they deliver, hopefully, the magic match ball to the Calcutta Cup. But before we get there...
What happens if they don't make it in time?
They won't play. It's cancelled. I think it's in the small print that Scotland win if they don't make it.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
Calcutta Cup's in... The match ball's in limbo.
Yeah.
Just stuck lags. In, like... They've got the Northern Corridor.
Real headwind going up the A1. Yeah. Fucking hell.
I've got to play with one of those like old stitched like leather balls. That's the only one they can find. But before we got there, we've got the very intimidating prospect of Ireland over in Dublin. We're recording on Wednesday night. The Scotland team's going to be announced mid-morning tomorrow. So actually, when you're listening to this, you'll probably already know the team. So what we're about to say about our prospective team is either really good or, you know, we were fed bad information. So, interesting.
Should we run through what we think the starting team's going to be?
Yeah.
Yeah, what do we think?
Dale Brown, Ferguson.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Dale Brown, Ferguson.
Maybe Nell, three.
Yeah, I kind of thought Nell, but then...
I think Fraser Brown definitely, because he's been doing media, which is the guiding principle for all of my reasons what my team selections are.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm just like, yeah, I get Nell, but it feels like Ferguson's performances have like stepped up throughout this year.
Agreed.
And he's given away the most penalties in the Heineken Cup this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, he stepped up to a Scotland level.
that's my actually main concern. Well, two concerns, and I'm not 100% convinced on his scrummaging. Whereas Nell is going to keep up that scrum.
He will scrummage against...
And I think he's okay in the tight. He's not like a Gordon Reid. He's not like a you know...
Who's Gordon Reid?
Gordy Reid.
All right, yeah.
I get the rationale for and against. I think one of my issues with Ireland is they've got such like a powerful dynamic forward pack who I again and we all share about going to be worried that whether it's in the tight or whether it's just running off Conor Murray, they're just going to consistently just get over the game line and get quick ball.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I think Xander Ferguson is one of the few players, especially on tight five, that can probably do a lot to actually counter that. And I think because he's
fit enough.
Fit enough, I think he's way more dynamic and aggressive than Nell in defence and attack.
Maybe it's time to sort of start evolving the team a bit more.
Yeah.
I think it's sort of, my sort of main concern with Scotland is like they're sort of caught between two stools, whether you pick like the likes of Ferguson and maybe some like lighter guys in the backs and in the back row, or you go for like the more solid. No, yeah. But I'm thinking of sort of maybe the more solid guys because you want to be able to stand up to the Irish challenge. Yeah. Or you try and play this fastest branded rugby in the world. And I think in the World Cup, Gregor Townsend went more towards the try and match teams physically because ultimately playing like rapid fire rugby isn't how you win international games in this day and age. But it's a broader point. But second row, Gray and Gilchrist?
Yes, again, because Grant Gilchrist has been doing media.
Yep.
I was hoping I was going to see Scott Cummings in a newspaper, and then I'd think a bit more.
I think Cummings deserves it, but I think they'll do Gilchrist and Gray. Mm.
I think Gilchrist has started like a vast majority of games at second row when he's been fit for Townsend.
Yeah.
I think he's a big Townsend player.
I wonder. I think we say it before every single Autumn Series or Tour, Six Nations, World Cup, this could be a master tournament for Jonny Gray.
Yeah.
I think having, you know, the move to Exeter, I think even that game he played against Sale, granted it wasn't Sale's best team, he was absolutely unbelievable.
He was massive, yeah.
I wonder if that just gives him that like extra confidence boost and B, desire to really prove himself.
No.
Before he goes.
I have a zero faith in Jonny Gray stepping up. We did.
What, you think he'll just be sort of solid sevens out of 10?
You know why? Because last year we had the exact same conversation. Yeah. Because it was post Glasgow playing Saracens at home. Oh, it was post when he'd had a couple of games against Saracens and he'd like stepped up and we were like,
he's
coming. Oh, he coming.
Oh, loud, he coming.
And he just sort of stepped into, yes, I've made 100% tackles, 5% of them have been dominant.
Yeah.
Done.
He's definitely going to start, so I mean,
I hope he proves me wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Back row,
I think Richie Watson Bradbury,
which I'd be more than happy with.
Yeah, I think that's got
it. I think that's the form selection, and I think it's
haven't seen any of them in the press. There's only been so many days, though. You can't just put the whole team out.
There haven't been any back rows in the press.
I think it was like Scrum's predicted team had Conal Dupree.
Yeah, I saw that.
I was like, what?
I've seen a couple of people putting Rory Sutherland in ahead of Dell, but I think they've lost their minds.
Dell's been playing now quite regularly for a London Irish team who are doing okay in the Premiership.
Yeah.
Sutherland's only just come back to playing for Edinburgh. Like, I feel like a pretty big gamble.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it'll happen. I'm just saying I've seen it.
And also, Sutherland wouldn't start for Edinburgh.
No, I'm not doubting that. But neither would Dell, so that's why I moved.
That's kind of that's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the whole problem with Edinburgh at the moment.
Yeah. That's true.
I can't really see much beyond that. I also think our options beyond that aren't great.
I don't understand. I feel like Richie and Watson have to start.
I think Richie and Watson, I'll be astonished if that is not 6 and 7.
Yeah.
Because you've got to find a way for both of them to be on the pitch. You think about Jamie Ritchie's last game for Scotland was against Japan, and he was absolutely massive.
Yeah.
Defeat. Like, unbelievable. And Hamish Watson.
Mm.
And then I think you've got your number 8 thing. I think Bradbury, surely.
There's no chance of Matt Ferguson.
He's not been brought into this. I think they would have had to either announce or they would have brought him into the squad.
Okay, got you.
Nick Hennings appears in that team sheet tomorrow.
There were some professional photos going around of Nick Hennings today. There were some profile shots.
I saw that.
But he's not appeared in a broadsheet yet, so I'm not interested. Not interested in whether he's playing. Scrum half, interesting conversation.
This is interesting, yeah.
I think he'll go Ali Price.
I think he will. But I kind of think, you know, if Townsend wants to play the fastest branded rugby in the world, then why not pick the likes of George Horn?
Yeah.
When you're playing against an Ireland team, which I don't honestly think are going to do that much differently to Joe Schmidt's team, with Andy Farrell's the head, they're going to be like set piece, defense based.
What have they had? Like,
so they're going to be
a week in camp.
Yeah, like, they're going to be
that much.
And the fact that they haven't gambled with Cooney, for example, at the scrum half, like, they're going to base the game around their scrum and line out and kick the leather off the ball. Just, I don't think Scotland have the game plan to counter that. So,
our super secret source has just...
It's just slipped into the DMs.
Has literally just slipped into the DMs with the Scotland team.
With the team.
Yep.
Selection of the team.
Yeah. A selection of the team. Should we read it out live?
Yep.
So this is from our secret, super secret source. Who's yet to be wrong.
That's true.
I want to get your guys' response to this.
Yeah.
And I did not know this before I said it out loud. He claims that Rory Sutherland's starting.
Okay.
Interesting.
Hugh is starting at 13, which I think we probably understood.
I like that.
Fraser Brown, Adam Hastings, fair play.
Thanks, man.
Cornell Dupree on the bench, so that would say
Bradbury
starting at 8. And that's it.
Was that the 4 DMs?
He comes and goes. Who are you?
This guy is a pro. He knows what he's doing.
Deep throat. Who are you?
Yeah, exactly.
That is so. We will see if Rory Sutherland might be starting for Scotland, lads.
It's a gamble, that.
Yeah, that is a massive gamble.
Has he played many even Six Nations games?
Yeah, I don't know. He's kind of been someone who's kind of been around for a while.
I think he made his debut in 2016.
been obviously.
No, 2015. He was in the 2015 World Cup squad.
And I what was the injury that he had?
His groin.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Been out for a long time.
Well, let's see. That's interesting. Super secret source. Well, I mean, it could be. We do get sent an awful lot of nonsense.
Yeah.
So let's
But as
see.
You said, this guy's track record so far.
A very good track record. Good. So we'll see.
I mean, so that yeah, we're talking about scrum half. That
I just asked him who's playing at scrum half, so if he comes back, I'll let you know.
But if you're going to go for it, then I reckon you go for George Horn, something different.
Yeah, I know.
I don't really mind. You know what I mean?
I think they're fairly interchangeable. I think Price's pass is probably marginally better than...
Price played well of late.
He has played well of late. But it's just that I find George Horn's stats just like so beguiling. I'm just like, I need to see them tested at like high international level.
It's the start of a World Cup cycle. And I know there's arguments about whether you should be aiming to win every game in every Six Nations rather than just building for the next 4 years. But... this seems like a pretty good... He's played in summer tours. He's played in the World Cup against, like, you know, that second-tier opposition, showing that he can absolutely, like, kill them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this... it seems like now is the chance.
Like, every chance he's been given, he has taken. I mean, like, you think about that weird... that Argentina game 2 years ago when he made his debut, and, like, him and Hastings absolutely carved up. Mm. Now, granted, Argentina were not even half at the races that day, but...
yeah.
I think he's... gone over every hurdle that has ever been asked of him. So, interesting. Who do you think should partner Hugh Jones in the centre if we go with the assumption that Adam Hastings is starting at 10?
Yeah. I think he'll go with Johnson.
I think he'll go with...
get a 10, 12, 13. Well, 9, 10, 12, 13.
I think you
Glasgow.
I think you could maybe have made the argument for rolling the dice at 12 with a different club person if Finn was there. Maybe put Matt Scott in. But I think if you've got Adam Hastings, I think he'll maybe feel more comfortable just having Sam Johnson there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I completely get the argument for having Sam Johnson there. And we sort of had this debate about how good is Sam Johnson. And I'm still I'm a little bit unconvinced. Mm. I think he's had moments of pure genius. And one being against Leinster last year at the end of the season. Remember for Glasgow?
Yeah, that's very nice.
I still think, especially against like a fast defense, I just don't know if he has kind of the distribution skills or the kind of the ability to make those passes. I think he's kind of struggled a little bit.
Yeah.
Obviously saw the thing he did against Exeter when they were kind of winning and on the ascendancy.
Yeah.
And I think he can, he obviously can hit that hard line. Maybe if Matt Scott had stayed fit kind of over the festive period, he sort of had that little injury that sort of took him out. You know, he only came back for the second 1872 game and looked good when he came off the bench and had looked great at the start of the season. There's something I just like about Matt Scott at the moment. I like the way, and I think he can hit a hard line. He's got distribution skills, obviously used to kind of play a bit of 10 back in the day.
Yeah.
I've always thought that if he could get his game right and get a run of games... He was like Scotland's 12.
Yeah.
And I think maybe this has just come a little bit too early.
I think so. And as well, I'd question how many times Scott and Jones have played together, if ever, actually.
Yeah.
So I kind of think that if you have had a bit of disruption because of Hastings coming in, you kind of think, right, we don't want to completely rip up things. We want some continuity. And you keep, you know, the majority of that Glasgow, whether the whole Glasgow midfield.
No Hutchison. At 12?
Interestingly interviewed in the
I get the sense he's going to be that on the bench. And
he
covering,
does offer a
covering 10.
Huge amount off the bench.
Well, it'll be interesting because...
which is pretty class.
You'd assume now, might be wrong with this, that it's going to be Hogg, Maitland and Kinghorn.
Probably.
Which means you've kind of just got that... if someone goes down in that back three, they can sort of... Kinghorn can move to 10, and then could Hutchison play on the wing, do you think? Or
no, I think Hutchison would go to 10. Hutchinson's been...
so I mean, if Hogg goes down, Kinghorn would move to fullback, and if Hutchison was on the bench, could he play wing as well?
Yeah, I think you'd maybe move, I don't know, but you could move Hutchison to 13 and then put Jones on the wing.
Yeah.
For instance.
I just wonder whether they just go a bit safer and have one of Price or Horn the pudding, and then Chris Harris.
But yeah. Hutchinson was saying he's been running at 10 in the camp.
I'd just be surprised if they've got the pudding in camp, if they wouldn't put him in the squad as a specialist 10.
Yeah.
He just completely doesn't fit the style that Tangent says he wants to play, though.
Why are you hating on the pudding?
I'm not. He's an extremely effective rugby player.
I agree. Hutchinson hasn't really played any pro games at 10, though.
I agree. I think it would be...
His last game was at under-20s level, right?
He hasn't. I don't know.
I don't think he's played for Northampton in the Premiership at 10.
Not in the last 2 years.
Nah.
No. So, yeah, it could be too risky.
That's why I think... they will definitely put Duncan Ware at 10. And then then it feels like Hutchinson's potentially a little bit too limited to put in the... And then it just... Chris Harris just fits the bill, right?
Because
centre and back three.
Fullback three.
Yeah. And they clearly do like Chris Harris.
Yeah. I think they'll keep him in.
And Chris Harris seems like a really nice guy, to be fair.
Yeah. He's doing well for Gloucester. I'm like, yeah, quite lucky.
Yeah, he sort of kind of shuffled into that centre partnership, and he seems to be starting a lot of games.
Yeah,
either with Atkinson or 12 Trees.
Yeah.
Or Cipriani's kind of dropped.
Which is why I thought that he would be starting in this game, or would be there and thereabouts. But I was kind of quite surprised. Actually, Hugh Jones made like a really sort of late charge.
Yeah,
think about it.
Maybe Tooney is going to resurrect Jones at 12, Harris at 13 from that fateful day in Cardiff. Cardiff 2017.
Oh, God.
So
I was
bad.
There.
Was terrible, terrible.
PTSD from that game.
Maybe.
So
Super secret source has only said that Jones is in. We've just assumed he's playing 13.
Well, that is true.
Who knows?
Maybe he's playing 10.
And then, yeah, we back three we talked about there.
With Darcy out, I think Kinghorn's obviously next cab off the rank. And
Do you think so? You don't think McGuigan?
Nah.
And then
McGuigan's been playing well. I think Kinghorn's just a far better
Ratu Tagivi
rugby player.
Tagivi?
Saw some footage of him in like this Scotland like sort of fitness conditioning video that went up.
Yeah.
He is an absolute beast. He's like an amazing athlete.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like there's loads of sort of Islander athletes like him though, sort of kicking around, you know, like playing in like Pro D do. Should we talk about the Ireland team then?
The Ireland team, which I did have up in front of me a second ago. So
it looks pretty good.
They start with the back line. I don't know, like Murray and Sexton. I'm kind of a bit surprised. I thought
Murray and Sexton have presided over pumpings of Scotland so many times recently.
They know how to pump Scotland.
Yeah.
The only thing why have Ireland named their team on Tuesday? Because
Gatland did that last year with Wales.
Is it that they just are like, whatever, Scotland can't beat us anyway?
It's like a mind games thing.
Supposedly they said it's a way to kind of like relax people.
Yeah.
And supposedly a lot of the time they know the team by like Monday.
Mm.
And they've got to do press and they're not allowed to say the team even though everyone knows they know the team.
Yeah.
And it's actually just be like, look, nothing's really going to change, right? Mm. We're not going to change our game plan, etc. There's the team and get on with it.
Sexton's still going to run some loops.
Yeah, and Murray is going to do some really good box kicks.
Yeah, exactly that.
I just feel like in actually all of that backline, maybe with the exception of Larmour, they're just people who are used to beating Scotland.
Conway. You're not that worried about Conway, are you?
I'm not really. I forgot. I thought it was Earl.
I'm worried about, you know, Keane Healy, Tag Furlong,
Ian
Henderson, James Ryan, Josh van der Fleer.
Even Standard. Standard has made mincemeat at Scotland.
He's a class. He may be slightly over the hill from where he was, but he's still a top class operator in the back row at Six Nations level.
Yeah.
I don't know too much about Doris, but he seems to be the talk of the town in Ireland.
I haven't seen him play.
He's getting big licks from a lot of Irish people.
Mm. It feels like he's just one of those Leinster guys that they chuck in and he's just like to the manor born. Just so comfortable.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Like, well, Jack Conan's not even in the squad and he was sort of the same.
He's injured. Isn't he?
Was he injured?
Yeah.
I just think that Ireland team just guys, as Rob Wainwright was talking about, like it's that sort of mental edge of knowing how to beat Scotland.
Is that being used to
beating Scotland?
I mean, it's also just like, if you look at the bench and you start ringing the subs and you've got Kilcoyne, Porter, Toner, Pete Mahoney, Cooney, Byrne, Henshaw to call on at some stage.
It's pretty punchy, isn't it?
It is pretty good.
That 23 is pretty decent.
Yeah.
And I think We were talking about it when we saw that Ireland team. I think you'd say those props probably better than Scotland's props.
Yeah.
Second rows. I mean, there's, I don't think there's
Rob Herring's an interesting one, because I don't think a lot of people thought Keller would start.
Yeah.
He's potentially something to target in the lineup, just because he's, you know, not at that many. He's a good experienced club player, but could be something to target. But yeah, 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
The thing is, 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 have probably, I know we beat them in 2017, but they've had like 5, 6 years of
consistently Scotland's
pretty consistently.
And I mean, the last time they played, they absolutely hosed us in the World Cup.
Yeah.
With a pretty similar spine of a team.
Yeah.
And the 4 and 5s, I mean, Henderson and James Ryan is, like, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I think toss up, I think Jamie Ritchie, I really think, is a phenomenal player. But then again, Stander and Watson can probably go toe-to-toe with Van der Flier. But like, it's kind of toss-ups. There's not like clear differentials where Scotland have got the better player in a number of positions.
It's an interesting one. Not that I'm prophesizing that we'll lose, but on the pretty big kind of, you know, we probably will lose, right? And we'll probably lose, not because it's Adam Hastings rather than Finn Russell, but because Leinster got a bigger pack. And
Leinster, but yes.
but
you're not wrong. Totally.
Is it almost a benefit for like Gregor Townsend that they can kind of get through the first game, or, you know, potentially the first two games, and say they come out with two losses and they're like, it's Finn. They can almost blame it a little bit on the Finn saga.
Yeah.
Kind of distracts from potentially what is, I mean, 100% Tom English has an article ready to go about how Scotland are like
getting overpowered and bullied.
Yeah.
Bullied up front.
But it's almost like kind of, you know, like, the Finn saga. Look at the Finn saga, when actually ultimately that's not been while we've lost matches.
It's quite an interesting argument in the pro column for not bringing back Finn for England. Because if you bring back Finn for England, having lost to Ireland, everyone will then be like, we're probably going to win.
Yeah.
And then if we lose to England as well, you're like, oh God, we're actually just...
Yeah.
We're actually just not that good.
But yeah.
Oh God, sorry, you really took down a negative slant.
Yeah,
there.
It would just be interesting to see how the style that Scotland like to play and where they do just, you know, go for it. Which I think is sort of
I think they
talk about doing a lot of the time.
You're right, in terms of Tooney came in and was like, I want to play the fastest brand of rugby. 100% at the World Cup, we were not the fastest brand.
Yeah, what's
rugby.
Happened to that? I think there was a sense in the World Cup that he wasn't 100% sure about that strategy, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe post-World Cup, the debriefs and everything, he's sort of gone, you know what, this is what I believe in. Like, I'd rather go out doing what I believe in than, you know, something that's not me, not true to myself.
Yeah.
But then again, it goes back to this point that I just don't think that's how you win Test rugby these days.
No.
Japan won a Test rugby match against Scotland playing like that.
Yeah, and then they played South Africa, who just played in the forwards and absolutely pumped them.
Yeah, but that's how they beat Ireland.
Yeah, true.
So what, you're not prophesizing that we're going to lose, but what do you think is going to happen, Alan?
Oh, I think we're going to get pumped.
The spread's 13 points. It's making Ireland 13-point favourites at the moment. Do you think that's about right?
I think it's probably a little bit generous, to be honest, especially with Finn being out.
I think we could be 15-20?
I think we chatted about it, and I think we're pretty... I reckon we'll be pretty spot on, where I think we'll get to 14-0 down after about 25 minutes. We'll probably go in at half-time, maybe 14-6 or 17-6. It'll dribble out at like 24-9. And we'll like, or maybe we'll score one try in like the 73rd minute.
Yeah.
We'll chuck a punch in the last round.
I could see it being like 42-20.
Oh, like a real dicking.
I could see Ireland scoring a lot of points.
I mean, that is the thing.
They're at home.
I suppose it's a big test for Steve Tandy, new defence coach.
Yeah, I haven't talked about him.
I've heard a few things where people have talked quite positively.
Yeah, yeah.
Saying about how they've... There was supposedly some feedback coming out of camp about how they've been enjoying, it's like a simpler defensive pattern, and actually they've been like, players have bought into it more.
The blue wall.
The blue wall.
I mean, all remains to be seen, but they're starting from a very low bar of we're shipping like 30 points a game, and that's pretty much like a standard issue with a freebie 7 within the first 5 minutes for anyone who dares to enter our 22. I mean, if we can get to 10 minutes having not conceded a point, I'm going to be absolutely delighted.
I really hope they've just been sending the forwards off to like Peter de Villiers, like just like a corner of the ground.
Yeah.
Peter de Villiers just like smoking, not speaking English, only speaks French. Just like gets them all in, just like screams at them on like this on the scrummaging machine constantly for an hour.
It's like quite aggressive.
Then they leave and he just like
walks
off.
Climate looks quite nice down in Spain where the squad is.
What's the rationale behind going to, it's Portugal, isn't it? Is it Spain?
No, it's Spain.
What's the rationale behind that?
Getting away from pressure.
Yes.
I was trying to do both, but in one word. Although we say that, and I'm like, what? They're in St. Andrews getting like hounded by people.
Papped in
the
central.
Also, there is a traveling press corps with the Scotland team at the moment. So it's not like getting away with the press. I guess it's taking them out of a normal environment, maybe getting them thinking big tournament, like this is a preparation period rather
than... Well, England do it, I suppose, don't they?
It pulls them out of their going back to their own flat, or I guess like their natural surroundings of Edinburgh and Glasgow.
Yeah, but they go and train in St. Andrews and all stay in the same hotel.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't feel St. Andrews far enough away.
It's the bubble, man.
It's a weird place, St. Andrews, to be fair.
Yeah, that's true.
One thing we haven't talked about is I don't think Adam Hastings would be like overawed, though. I don't feel like he's... I just don't. And he, you know, he has played for Scotland, right?
Yeah.
He's not... He's the sort of player that does seem to like, he loves it. He loves the big occasion.
He'll keep taking the ball to the line, even if he's getting smashed back the first few times he does it.
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to die wondering.
Can ride a tackle. Yeah. Unbelievably as well.
It's just knowing, I suppose it was, you know, when he played in that Wales game, that was like the Doddy Weir extra match.
Yeah.
I think he started that.
Yeah.
I think it was just a few times he did get caught behind the gain line because his decision making in terms of maybe, you know, kicking to the corner.
That's true. I think he's
hasn't
had,
developed enough.
I think he's come on enough. I think he's had a lot of bigger tests since then, not least the Heineken Cup games for Glasgow where he's played well.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting because I think it's the first time Adam Hastings has had a run of games for Glasgow where he's been playing well and he is the man, kicking goals, doing everything. And then he's going to get the chance to roll that straight into a Scotland game. Because usually he'd be going to Scotland camp, playing second fiddle, sitting the bench,
and knowing no matter how well he's playing, he's not going to dethrone Finn.
So like it's quite an interesting opportunity for him. I mean, like, and you've got to think, in Adam Hastings' back of his head should be, or somebody in the Scotland camp should be saying, look at him, if you go out, score 20 points and you'll get man of the match and we beat Ireland, who's to say we're bringing back Finn for England?
Yeah.
Like, this is your opportunity.
Mm. Yeah.
Hopefully his old man's saying that to him. Like, could this be the moment he steps up?
Stop being so optimistic.
I'm not. I'm really not.
But I do think
that Adam Hastings has come on a huge
subplot.
Yeah, I think he's come on a huge amount. And I think he's well-liked within the squad. I think he's playing in the comfortable surroundings of people that he knows, particularly if they pick that Glasgow backline we'll be talking about. Why not?
Should we do quiz and then predictions?
Quiz, predictions, then him. It's getting quite late.
It's quite late.
That's fair.
Come on, Alan.
Right.
What you got
the
for us?
Broad theme is last 2010 to 2019 Scotland v Ireland Six Nations games.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice theme.
So nice little ones. Just
how'd you come up with that?
Yeah, I know. Nice one just to open up. Out of the 10 games, how many do we win? How many did Scotland win?
2010, did you say?
2010 to 2019, how many games have Scotland won? Do you want me to go through all questions or will we go?
Let's just do one at a time. It's a bit faster, I think.
Dave?
I'm going to say we have won that one, maybe that one. Two?
I got three.
Three is correct.
You
got 2010. You got 2017 when we won at home.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then we also won in 2013 when I think Ireland had 78%.
Was that when we won like 9-7?
It's 12-8.
Yeah. All kicks.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Lovely stuff.
Over the last 10 years, 10 Scotland players have scored points against Ireland.
Oh, wow.
Both kicks and tries.
Okay.
Dave, do you want to kick us off?
I will literally kick us off with Greg Laidlaw.
Laidlaw has scored points in 2012, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19.
Come on, Matt. I've got another if you want to go.
Hogg.
Hogg has three tries. One in 2016 and then two in 2017 when the win at home.
The 2016 was an absolute belter where he went on the outside of
100%. Yeah. Went in between like Rory Best and
the two slowest people.
Yeah.
Alex Dunbar, one of my favourite Scotland tries.
Dunbar, two tries. He scored one in that game where Hogg scored the screamer.
The trick line out.
Yeah,
and the
very
trick
good
line out.
That's what I was going to say. Johnny Beattie.
Johnny Beattie is correct. Try in 2010 in the win.
Which gives me the great pleasure of saying Dan Parks.
Dan Parks is correct. 2010 and 2011, he got some points.
Nice.
Finn Russell?
Finn Russell has never scored a kick against Ireland in the Six Nations, but he scored a try in 2015.
Yes,
he scored the only try when we got absolutely...
When Adam Ash put him in at the corner.
Absolutely correct.
Who else scored in that game?
Right. Dave, who you got? No, you got four people left.
Four.
Three try scorers and one kicker.
Duncan Weir?
Duncan Weir is not correct.
Aish.
Oh,
I was although I think he has played in a few games, but with obviously Laidlaw at nine.
Yeah. Oh, but he's not been kicking.
Seymour.
Seymour is incorrect.
I know. Kinghorn.
Kinghorn. Very 2018 good. Try.
Another kicker, do you say?
There's one kicker and then one person with two tries and one person with one try.
Patterson?
Patterson had a kick in 2011.
Yes.
So now we're looking for someone who's got two and someone who's got one try against Ireland.
2012, 2016 and 2019.
2019 is the one that we really should remember.
And this is, I'm opening up to the floor now.
I hated that
game. Oh, I've got it. I've got one of them.
Who?
Go on then.
Richie Gray.
Richie Gray is the double try scorer.
The big
dummy.
Watching.
2012 was the big carny dummy. And then 2016 he scored actually when Finn just popped him and went under the posts. And who scored the try last year? We were on a stag for this, mate. We watched it together.
Which stag?
The one in fucking Norwich.
I wasn't on that. I was away. I missed that game. I was actually, I wouldn't say it, it's really cringe.
I mean, if you can say it if you want.
I was on Safari, so.
Oh, God. One absolute player.
I literally can't think. Hugh Jones? Got any clues?
You're kind of on the right track.
Sam Johnson?
Yes.
Oh, was it?
Oh, he scored off the pot from Finn.
Finn got the interception off.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was trying to think, where was I for that game? I was at the stadium watching it live at Murrayfield. And actually, that was at my end. Sitting in like West 5 or whatever it is, wherever I sit. Oh, God, right. Yeah.
So I just realized that I actually did some work earlier looking at what the average scores were.
Yeah.
And I've deleted it, but I actually think I remember it. What do you think the average scores have been by each side in over the last 10 games? So average points scored. Average points scored by Scotland.
Okay.
I'm going to say 25 for Ireland.
I'll go 24 for Ireland.
26. It was 25.6, so I rounded it up.
Oh, was it?
The wrong way.
Scotland, I'll say... 16.
17.
He's 16.
Oh!
And the last one, I was just to say, out of the 23 who played the 2010 test, there's two Scotland rugby players who are still professional rugby players. Who are they?
Oh.
Can you say that again? Because the super secret source has just said that Ali Price is starting at scrum half.
This has been so good. Live leaks.
Can you ask the question again?
Out of the starting 23 for the 2010 game against Ireland, there's now just two people still playing professional rugby.
That's a long time ago. I'm going to say Laidlaw.
Laidlaw is not in the 23. Mm-hmm. It was Chris Custer starting and captain, and then Mike Blair came off the bench for Custer.
I think Laidlaw made his debut in 2010.
Beattie was at 8.
Yep. Barkley.
Barkley was at 7.
And Richie.
And Richie Gray was on the bench, actually.
Nice.
He He had a starring role of Jim and Kellogg.
Oh, my word. It's not like Chunk, Dickinson, Ford.
Chunk, Ford, Murray, Hamilton, Kellogg, Killer Bees, Custer Park.
You'd take that pack, wouldn't you?
Morrison, oh. DeLuca, Max Evans, Sean Lamont, Hugo Southwell.
I feel there's enough in that if you had a good coach to make it into like a pre.
Yeah, he did. They fucking beat them.
Well,
they
did, yeah. But, I mean, that was.
Was that their one win of that tournament?
Is that all he's given us? Price starting at 9.
Well, I just asked who was playing scrum half.
Nice. The one thing we didn't talk about was our buddy SRU Insider.
Oh, yeah. Christ.
Should we save for next week?
Should we have it as a parting gift for anyone who's made it to the end? Because we've gone over an hour now. A little gift.
I think we save it for up front. I think it's interesting news.
I can't even remember what this news is.
Remember the Saracen stuff?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to save it for start of next week.
Yeah. Save it for next. Yeah. When people are still listening.
We're chatting about England as well.
When people are still listening.
Oh, yeah.
Actually,
it fit nicely with England, won't it?
Yeah.
Sorry for the cliffhanger, lads. We will be back next week to celebrate Scotland's big win against Ireland and preview retaining the Calcutta Cup. Thank you very much. Speak to you soon.
Speak to you soon.
Cheers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.